Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I want to go live right now to a gentleman I mentioned earlier. He is a victim of in this whole sex scandal, the sex abuse scandal, and his name is Gary Astridge, and Gary was inducted within the last year into the Kenmore East High School Performing Arts Hall of Fame, also Ringo Starr's official drum historian, drummer for local BBC band, a Beatles tribute band. Gary, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Hey, and right off the bat, I got some kind of respiratory thing going on, so excuse me if I sound funny. So.
Well, I certainly hope that it's nothing more than the common cold.
I don't know what it is, actually. It's not a cold. It's just something that's been lingering for about 2 weeks now. But
well, yeah, and there's a lot of that going around. I mean, let's not, you know, I know the coronavirus is on everybody's mind right now, but think about the galloping crud and how many different versions of the galloping crud have been going around for several months. So let's not everybody get ridiculously upset. Gary, as a victim in this whole thing, do you want to rate the Bishop's performance today and what it meant to you?
You know what's interesting, Tom, is when he first came on the scene, I thought, okay, you know, wipe the slate clean and give the guy a chance. But I'm not seeing good things with him. And there's something that happened in particular. You know, he keeps mentioning transparency, you know, wanting to reach out to the victims. That's what it's all about, you know, and making the files available to us, you know. And well, he said that a few times, and it's on record. And in January, on the 14th and 15th specifically, I thought, you know what, I'm going to take him up on that. So after talking to my attorney, he says, well, you know, go ahead, good luck. You know, I doubt you're going to get anywhere. So I called, explained who I was, and said I'd like to take the Bishop up on his offer. And then it was one moment, please, and sent to the voicemail of his secretary. So I leave a detailed message, get no response, call back the next day. He had the same scenario play out, and I called the third time, saying, you know what, I'd like to just talk to the Bishop. And voicemail goes right back to his secretary, and I've never heard anything. And there's been other people, other survivors, that have attempted to do what I did, and I had the same results. So to me, it's just another slap in the face, saying, why are you saying that you would offer something and not even have the respect to give a phone call, to even explain, you know, hey, we're working through this, we're trying to put something together, but when you hear nothing, you know, it's insulting.
So the offer was transparency. You decided to try to take up the Bishop on that offer, but basically ran into an electronic great wall of the diocese.
Yeah, exactly.
What did your attorneys, if you're at liberty to say, what did they have to say about your inability to reach the Bishop or even get past the secretary's voicemail?
Well, after that, it was like, you know, just back off. There's some, you know, delicate dealings going on behind the scenes. But then I just let it go. But it was just taking him at face value, you know, and with nothing happening. And by the way, I was in the courtroom this morning. I got an early call saying that this was going down, and if I would like to go was there for the proceedings. And in some ways, it was a little strange being kind of kicked to the head count, myself included. It was like 28 people in the courtroom. And it was just, there was a part of me thinking, well, I'm sitting here witnessing history with this happening.
But on the other hand, as you're watching history being made with the diocese going through the bankruptcy situation, how much a part of you as the victim did you see swirling down the drain and your chance to get some kind of compensatory justice?
That's the downside. I'm just thinking that in a lot of respects, this is just so unfair, you know, at so many levels. And there's a part of me just sitting there this morning, and it's something I think about a lot, just trying to step back and look at the big picture. You know, you have this going on in Buffalo today, but this is a worldwide problem. You know, and I just constantly think that if this was any kind of an international corporation with this kind of a problem, you know, with pedophiles, I mean, where do you have this many, you know, in an organization? And if it was a corporation, that the hammer would have came down so fast, so severe, people would be in jail, people, you know, that this is just a joke. And, you know, how Catholics can tolerate the Vatican just to let this ride. You know, what's going to happen here? Is this going to be just like Boston? You know, that was a big thing, you know, in the early 2000s. And Boston's a bigger city than Buffalo. And that happened, and it just kind of went away, and this stuff just keeps going on. Nothing gets cleaned up.
We're talking on News Radio 930 WBEN right now with Gary Astridge. Gary is a longtime dear friend of mine. He's also an abuse survivor, and he is also going through a little bit of a respiratory infection right now. Probably nothing more than the galloping crud. Let's not all jump to conclusions. And he is giving us the victim's perspective on everything you heard earlier today on WBEN. We'll give Gary a chance to clear his vocal cords and rest his lungs for a moment before we trouble him further. And by the way, the stock's now down 725 points and changing, of course, every second. Gary Astridge is an abuse survivor from the Diocese of Buffalo, and he's with us now on WBEN. Gary, as a survivor, as a survivor, when people call in and suggest that there is a political component to the media coverage of this because the church represents Western civilization, traditional morality, et cetera, at least that's what it's supposed to represent, that this is the attacks on the church are simply part of a broader agenda to de-Westernize or un-Christianize the West. What do you say to that?
I'd say that's wrong. You know, when you dial into what's going on here, I give someone, particularly Charlie Specht, so much respect for diving into this. And he's took a lot of heat, a lot of pressure, death threats, and he's just still perseveres. And along with Charlie, you know, the whole team of reporters has just been bending over backwards on this story. And you know what's interesting is that with doing some press conferences, it's one thing to do a press conference and you're just getting the word out and you're seeing the reporters and cameramen looking at their watches like, hey, come on, wrap this up. We get somewhere else to go. But in this case, every time I'm involved in a press conference and I look at the reporters and the people behind the scenes, they're looking like, God, we support you. We believe you. This is just so off the charts. And they get it. And I have a lot of respect for the people driving this story home.
Gary, when people ask the question, how did it ever get to this point? And the bishop responded, essentially, I don't know. All I can do is take the situation moving forward. How does that sit with you?
Not well. Yeah, it's, you know, there's so many stories that I have heard from victims, survivors, and there's the stories that we'll never hear from people that committed suicide because of this. In my opinion, I mean, this is just, it's known. I mean, it's just something I don't know what the darkness is in the Catholic Church, but this has been going on for a long time. And to slide, priests around, I don't know if it's because of the shortage of priests. It is one component, but there's definitely something sinister going on in the background, and it's been going on for decades.
Gary, can you talk? I mean, we can only imagine the physical violence that you endured as a child. I've read your story; it's absolutely mortifying. Can you talk about the emotional component, the depression, or maybe the inability to trust that I would think must be a part of your life, given what you've experienced?
Yeah, what's funny is since this started, and actually what the 2-year anniversary was yesterday with Mike Whalen coming forward, but jumping out on this, being a person that's saying, I don't care if people know my name, I'm not going to be a John Doe. I want to learn from this. I want to help people from this. I want to make sure that the people that have done wrong get punished in some way. But I tell you, for me, this has changed me as a person. I can feel my personality has changed, and it's not depression, but it's just changed me because I can't help but think about what happened to me as a little boy, and how that's changed my life as a person. And there's so many symptoms that survivors have. Whether it's alcoholism or drug dependency, social awkwardness. Trust issues, issues with authority, sexual issues. It just goes on and on and on. And I've dialed on in, to things that I know I could try to change by myself. It's just devastating when something like this happens at such a young age.
Gary, if you feel up to it, I'd like to continue this a little bit into the next hour before we get some calls from the general public. But if you don't want to, I'll let you go. Do you want to stick around or you want to take off?
No, we're good.
All right, we'll stick around then. Gary Astridge is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN, giving us his insight as a sexual abuse survivor as to the diocese declaring bankruptcy and what the bishop said in the news conference afterward. And Gary was there this morning in court, and he's offering us his perspective. And we'll get your perspective on as well at News Radio 930 WBEN. Bishop had to say at his news conference, or at least the highlights, and Gary is joining us telephonically here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Gary, you almost gave me the sense before we broke of having been somewhat energized and, if you will, maybe even, these are my words, not yours, maybe even born again by your ability, by being a name out there who has come forward, not a John Doe, to, I don't want to say, well, to take some of the stigma from victims, and you feel as though you are helping people by being so public about what you went through and what it has done to you. Am I correct in saying that is something from which you are drawing satisfaction?
Yeah, you're correct. And a big part of it is, much of my personality as a child is still intact today. And part of that is just being quiet, respectful. I know I have good values, but I know that being quiet is what caused things to continue escalate, and as far as the abuse. And I play back in my head all the different things. Like, how come my parents didn't pick up on this? How come nobody in the neighborhood? No one else said anything. So there are all those things to deal with. But just being older now, it's just like I'm not going to stay quiet like that little boy, and I'm going to fight for him. It's almost like I'm detaching myself as an individual. That wasn't me. Like that was my, like my brother or something. But in doing this and being vocal, I know some people, you know, are just like, God, do you have to really say that? It's like, yeah, I do, because there's a part of me that feels my life experiences happen for a reason. And if I can stop it, or if I can have someone else that had the same thing happen to them, analyze themselves, get help, come forward, it's all positive. So that's my intent, and that's my reason for speaking out.
Gary, you spoke before about the bishop saying he wanted transparency, yet you've tried three different times to reach out to the bishop to avail yourself of his offer, and basically you've been rebuffed every time you have done it. What does today's bankruptcy filing, according to you, Gary Astrich, and whatever legal representation you may have, what does it do to your quest to receive justice?
Well, you know, there's a part of me overall that when the CVA wasn't out and all this stuff was coming to light for me was, I just dealt with it until someone said, did you ever notify the Diocese of Buffalo? And I said, no, why? I can't sue them. There's nothing I can do. So, but it's not, you should report it anyway. So I did. You know, and I got a letter, you know, saying, hey, you know, if you want counseling, if you want to come in to get a formal apology from the bishop, you know, so I did that, but it just seemed, you know, I got my apology, but it just didn't seem true at that time. And I just kind of walked away going like, well, it's as good as it gets, you know? So now here we are today, and just seeing the way that the church is responding, where it just seems like the biggest thing that they want to protect is their assets. And so for me, it's like, okay, well, I mean, if that's your big concern, that's what I want. And because the apology doesn't mean anything to me anymore. So that's the only kind of satisfaction I can get in thinking that I stung them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's just trying to heal myself.
When the bishop spoke of the abusive priests as being part of the family of the church, did that pick a scab?
That bothered me, and I tried not to give it much thought, because I know if I do, it would piss me off. So, but just choosing not to waste my energy on that one. But yeah, but that one stung too.
So what is the next step for you as a victim? You basically have to enter this pool of creditors and see what the aggregate resources are, and then you'll be awarded a proportional share?
So it seems, and apparently this stage now could last 3 years or more. So I don't know how it's going to play out, but you know, other than this whole lawsuit and everything that's going on, one of the things that I'd like to mention that I am doing with four other survivors that have come forward with, you know, their names out there, we started a group called the Buffalo Survivors Group. And we've been doing events, and we have a Facebook page. If someone would like to go to it, you know, they could message us or, you know, me through that. But what we're doing is, just trying to get the word out so that people could actually meet us as survivors, hear our stories, to know, what we went through as kids, or, you know, how we came out the other end, you know, and talk about all the different symptoms and things that survivors go through, and to offer, help such as crisis services, you know, if someone is going off the deep end and thinking about suicide. God knows what's going through some people's minds as they relive some of the trauma. But it's just another way of just trying to help.
No, I really can't imagine. I mean, the body reacts in certain ways to physical trauma. The body reacts in certain ways to mental trauma. And I was going to ask you, Gary, as somebody who's known you for, well, literally decades, I never would have known that you were a sex abuse survivor until you went public. And I have to ask you, was it difficult for you to keep everything bottled in? And do you ever look back on your life before going public and wonder if you had to put on a facade, put on a happy face to hide the tears?
Oh, I did, yeah. And I realized, and I'm pretty open about this, I mean, I had a major drinking problem. I hated myself. You know, I was always a clown, always, you know, just always acting for the situation, you know, that or environment I was in, but just hated myself. And to come out the other end, you know, not drinking for what, like maybe 22 years or something now. But just saying, hey, I love myself. I'm happy with myself. As to who I turned out, I mean, even with all the damage at the beginning, the core of me as a person is still intact. And it's been a life lesson, that's for sure.
And one, it's really a shame you had to experience. Gary, my final question for you is, at the end of this long and winding road, to steal a phrase from your favorite band, once you do receive some kind of financial compensation, do you believe that you're ever going to get a sense of closure? Will you ever have the feeling that justice has truly been done for Gary Astridge?
No, I'll always feel like I'm a damaged toy, you know, like, because I know there's a lot of things wrong with me. You know, and some I can correct, some I can't. But, you know, especially now at my age, I'm 63, and you look in the rearview mirror of your life and you see all the people you hurt, you know, the relationships that you turned sour, you know, the things that you've done that just weren't right. You know, it's just hard to, some things are very hard to live with. But, they'll never change. So that's just another reason for me to be vocal, so that just hopefully other people can learn from my mistakes and live a better life.
Now, Gary, I just want you to know that in the time I've known you, you have always struck me as just a really nice guy, a real true gentleman, and a real down-to-earth person who really cares about other people, and you have a genuine heart of gold. I think on this planet you are a rare commodity. There are a lot of posers, but you are the real deal. You are the genuine article as a human being.
Well, you know, it's funny. There's one thing I like to say, if I could squeeze this in quickly, and it's kind of a nice ending to this story. Just through things that my mother told me when I was young, and I was able to kind of piece this together, is that many times when bad things were done to me when I was young, I would just come home, go into my bedroom, close the door, listen to Beatle records, stare at Beatle album covers and magazine photos. But my focus went to Beatles, Ringo, his drum kits, and to have my life play out, to be a friend of Ringo, to do what I'm doing for him. I even just saw him this past weekend. Just makes me feel in some ways that, hey, I won. I took something negative and turned it into a positive.
Amen. Gary, I love you, brother, and I am looking forward to seeing you play next time I have the chance to do so.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate your time.
All right. Gary Astridge joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN. And his story is, you know, Gary went through hell. So that is one of the victims' stories. And Gary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.